on Rewind Falling Skies, which ran for 5 seasons. The series was produced by DreamWorks, with Steven Spielberg bringing it to light. This Rewind episode deals with Season 2. And this is Sci-Fi Talk, the podcast on how sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and comics help us explore our humanity. From the roundtables at San Diego Comic-Con, let's go back to Season 2 of Falling Skies. And first up is Tom Mason's alter ego, Noah Wiley, and Weaver, who is played by Will Patton.
Great season so far.
Thank you. I love it.
And your relationship has kind of been altered a little bit this year.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah, I think of all the relationships on the show, we've actually probably traveled the farthest ground since the pilot, where we were totally adversarial, and leading up to the episode that just aired last week, we're actually admitting a growing mutual respect and affection for each other, and a growing awareness that really, to be successful, it's going to require sort of a synthesis between our two philosophies on how to sort of lead the group. So in a lot of ways, I think we kind of looked at this season as alternating mother and father roles to the second Massachusetts, depending on the episode. Sometimes he's the more nurturing one, and I'm the hard ass, and then we flip.
I also like the storyline with Will and your daughter.
Oh, yeah, I'll
that was
that
fantastic.
One.
That was really cool.
Beautiful?
I thought the character just went up another level.
Well, she's really wonderful, I think. She has a lot of feeling. Lacey, who plays the part, I really, really like her.
You sat in on the casting sessions. You had a hand in finding her.
I did.
Had a real chemistry.
It was important to me who played that part. So.
More Rewind on Falling Skies in a moment.
Will we see any more signs in Tom as a result of his trip to the mothership?
You know, certain things are red herrings and certain things have great import. The things that happen under the ship, obviously, introducing Red Eye as a sympathetic character, potentially, the alien that tortured me, was pretty significant. That has a lot to do with where the end of the season goes. Those blacked out memories play less of a role.
Here, Noah Wiley discusses Tom Mason's relationship with Anne Glass, played by Moon Bloodgood.
I think we talked about this last year. That particular relationship, it's very difficult to write an interpersonal romance relationship on a show where you're trying to always establish a base level of threat being ever present. So we'd write these scenes where, you know, I'd be on guard duty and she'd bring me a sandwich and we'd start flirting with each other. And then we'd go to shoot them and we'd think, this just doesn't work, it just doesn't fit. So it became a relationship that really played itself out across crowded rooms with two busy people looking at each other and wishing circumstances were different. It was either do that or drag her into a linen closet and consummate it fast and furious. So first season we did the former, second
yeah, right.
season we did the latter. Well, anytime we're on that medical bus everybody's barking out, you know, give me an amp of epinephrine. And I got to be the guy that doesn't know what the hell they're talking about. It's very surreal.
He also comments that Moon has it better than he did on ER, as far as having medical advice, of course, from him.
She doesn't know how good she's got it. She's got a built-in technical advisor with almost 20 years of experience right there at her elbow. It's actually a nice transference because she comes from the sci-fi action world, and she's good at showing me how to hold my weapon, and I'm good at showing her how to hold the stethoscope.
I know everything's been shot. Is the series finale going to be a cliffhanger as well?
Yeah. Yeah, it's on par with what we did last season. We tend to like to write ourselves into a very serious corner and then spend the hiatus trying to figure out how to write ourselves out of it, yeah.
It was ballsy to show the inside of the ship. That really took balls.
Yeah.
It was like, whoa, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Well, that's Mr. Spielberg from start to finish. You know, he was there in the post-production facility designing exactly what he wanted those aliens to look like and what he wanted that ship to feel like. He was more hands-on through that sequence than just about anything else with the show. Hey, thanks, guys.
Love the show.
Really glad you enjoyed it.
Just keep it coming. It's a pleasure, man.
Really
is fun. I love me a good invasion.
Next up are Connor Jessup, who is one of Tom Mason's son, Ben, Sarah Carter, who is Margaret, and Dre Roy, who is Hal Mason. Sarah Carter talks about her complex relationship with Hal Mason.
It's complicated because I have a lot of respect for Hal and Hal's potential love for Karen and definitely his feelings for Karen, but I'm wary of her. So typical Maggie taking a step back and assessing the situation. And then, yes, there is a confrontation. I can tell you that much. That's all I can say.
And you will enjoy it.
It's really awesome.
You will enjoy it. And you're going to be like, what just happened?
Okay. I get protective. Let's just say that I get protective.
It's one of my favorite scenes for both you and Jesse.
Yeah, I liked it too. We loved shooting it.
Alan knows how to pick a strong woman.
What about the light show that goes on in your back? Is it, we're going to find out more about that and how you're dealing with that?
Yeah, that's kind of a continuing theme over the course of the series is, you know, is this Christmas lights in my back that have a frequent tendency to light up. So yeah, and that, you know, and it obviously represents some sort of connection that's much, much deeper than just the spikes in my back. And it's not going to be resolved by the end of the season. It's going to keep going. But there are going to be more revelations in this season and hopefully in future ones as well.
And you two, you kind of put the brakes on him. So what's going to happen there? Is there, can you, I mean, although then again, I did see there was a little spark there at one point too, so.
Oh, that was
the door's not closed.
That was a spark.
That was a large fire.
There's some dangerous chemistry here. I have to be careful with it.
That makes it radical.
And as we saw, Ben had a big decision, and here is Connor Jessup on his character being at a crossroad.
At the end of the last episode that aired, he sits on the roof with Matt, and he says, "You know, I'm going to have to go away soon." And obviously it's going to affect everyone in the Mason family, especially. It's going to affect Ben, and it's going to change Ben. Whether or not he goes through with that, whatever his decision is, it's going to have radical consequences on his character forever.
Of course, there's no spoiler here since it did air. He did leave at the end of the last episode. And here the two lovers talk about those moments of tenderness amongst the war going on around.
I love it because we're so blessed with the fact that we get to have all this action stuff and then sprinkled in with some romantic stuff, with some the family bonding stuff. It's nice to have all these different things to play as opposed to only one note.
I was a little worried it wasn't going to work when we were shooting it at first, because on the page it looks like, you know, these huge mechs are walking by and we're having this tender moment in the back of a car. I thought, oh my God, is it going to look totally contrived? It's just so convenient that we're lying on top of each other.
You're so bony.
Yeah. I went, how are we going to make this work? But I think it did work because that's pretty realistic that we would, you know, squish up in the back of a car, and that we actually want to be that close, and it gave us an excuse. And I think it felt as Maggie, you know, I let myself enjoy it because of the circumstances, and I thought it worked. I thought it made a lot of sense.
Then you mentioned Carol.
And then Maggie's not going to get too mushy for too long.
Karen and Ben are interesting now because Karen is now the only main character who's been through what Ben's been through. So there's an obvious potential for connection there. That's all I'll say. And I'll say it's one of my favorite storylines this season.
Falling Skies on Rewind continues in a moment.
Next up are Justin Flavey and Remy Aubuchon, the executive producers, who chatted with us next.
You know, Remy, since you came on this year, it just seems like everything is ramped up. What did you see when you came onto the project that you wanted to kind of tweak and change?
Well, I love the premise of the show when I saw it, and I think that the first season gang did a great job of setting us up a world that we hadn't seen. And I just felt, because I'm a fan of the genre and stuff, that it would be great to just see us push it even further and see how far we can go with it. And that's kind of what we did. And I think everyone was behind that idea. But really put the... Now, I thought we had now an opportunity to see what does it really feel like to be on the run and being hunted down by aliens or anything else. What does that do to our characters? So that's kind of what we started with.
Remy Aubuchon and Justin Flavey tell us about an important rule that was set up for the series.
One of the things that Steven set up as a rule that I thought was a great idea, and I've followed that rule all the way, is that we don't get to learn any more about the world and the aliens' purpose on our planet except through the eyes of the second mass. So the short answer is, yes, we'll learn more, but not everything. And we will continue to learn more, and hopefully through the third season, we'll really have have a strong idea of what that's all about. I think that's the way with all the mythology, by the way, of our show.
But I would say there's a satisfying amount of information about the harness and what you will learn. And it's a critical story point for certain.
They talk how they like to mix history and science fiction.
A lot of us in the writer's room are history buffs, and certainly Bob Rodat, who created the show, you know, had the intention, along with Stephen, of paralleling the American Revolution experience. And we've chosen certain places like Charleston, which was a key location for the American Revolution, and other things to give it some sort of iconic resonance to it. History does repeat itself, and the more we've looked back and looked at even, you know, Thermopylae and other places, we realize humans, when pushed and shoved and at bad odds, seem to triumph, and we don't quite know why that happens, but the resilience is pretty amazing. I think it makes for good storytelling.
And here's something really cool that I know is coming. Two additional characters we have not met are Matt Frewer and Terry O'Quinn. And here, they talk about those. Of course, we're not going to get into spoilers, but we do get some insight as to who they might be playing in the series.
I don't want to spoil too much, but I will say that they are... They're integral to Tom Mason and Captain Weaver, in that they're, in some ways, they're doppelgangers. Oh. And if the second mass had gone one way, they might have been who Terry O'Quinn and Matt Frewer are. More than that, I don't want to really spoil, because I think it's kind of a fun way, and Terry does an amazing job. And he and his character and Tom Mason, by coincidence, knew each other very well. So
they're kind of cut from the same cloth, but he's such an incredible presence and brings such gravitas to anything he does. It's a welcome presence, I think, when we run into him.
There was one episode that was really very family-oriented. It's essentially the parents and their children. Having like the lost child come back to see your father, and also Tom with his kids. Is that something you wanted to concentrate on this year, to kind of bring it, to see the impact of this whole situation on what it does to families?
Yeah, I would say, you know, it's interesting. It's a show, we constantly refer to the show as a dual franchise. It's part family and part science fiction. And it's, these guys do a phenomenal job, I think, striking that balance. I think, oddly, this year we probably have a little more sci-fi, we'd say, a little more than we have in the past. But I would say, given that, those moments, the family moments, have been stronger kind of emotional moments in a way, which is really worked wonderfully. And also, it's a second season. We know these characters, we know their relationships, we know what's at stake, and I think that's really coming through.
Up next to conclude the session are Moon Bloodgood, who is Dr. Alice Glass, Colin Cunningham, who I've spoken with before, who is Mr. Pope, of course, and Jesse Schramm, who is the still-harnessed Karen.
How does this season feel compared to last season?
This season for me feels... First season, I feel like we were trying to get our footing. It was a little more sentimental, a little more... the pacing was a little slower. This year, much more energy, much more science fiction, way more like twists and turns. So it just feels like it's got a pulpier feeling. It's more exciting.
This year, I feel like it's a little more hands-on, in the sense where before we were running away or trying to cause this resistance, not really knowing. Now we're hand-in-hand with it.
I also think our younger actors are, you know, they're growing up, getting up to speed, and they're feeling a little more confident just being there, and so it's pretty cool.
Jesse has some important news about Karen.
Karen's coming back. Should we trust her?
No.
That's up for you to decide.
Absolutely.
That's up for you to decide. Karen comes back. There's many questions, like they do with Tom, who isn't trusted at first by many. There's many questions to be asked. And with Ben and Rick, it's pretty much that thing of anyone who's been in contact with the aliens, can we trust you? So it's the same questions arise for Karen, and that will all unravel pretty soon.
And your romance, how is that? You guys, you know, the spark.
I mean, if you want to know, we consummate it. You know, Anne has her moment. No.
relationship is, it's like, you'll see, like, Seychelle has a relationship. You see all these romantic storylines. Ours feels the most adult-like. It's not filled with drama. It's not about analyzing our feelings. It's just, it's very supportive. It's almost like companions. So that I like about it. It's a very adult relationship. It's not hot and steamy. It's beautiful. It's sensual, but it's so underplayed. So I always like it. It's not sappy. But it's good. We have our first fight, and we make up, and he says sorry, which is really important. It's good. Yeah. You kind of have a little, I can't say. Yeah. I mean, we make out, but.
we kind of have a little. Yeah.
Well,
Jesse talks about the similarities between Karen and Connor Jessup's Ben.
Well, I think no matter what, like I said, we've been harnessed together. So there is that connection of we've been where the other has, and we're considered outsiders to the rest of our group. It's really not safe for us in the second match no matter what. So even though in the beginning he really doesn't trust me and says, you know, she's one of theirs, take her away, there is that thing of me understanding what it feels like to come out and be an outsider. Not only that, but have the effects of the harness, have that superhuman strength and the different things that we see in season one, except now I've been a person that's so close to the second mass and I got taken away when I was looking for him. So there is that weird connection too of always knowing about Karen, but now she's just like me. So yeah, we're connected in that way.
And Colin Cunningham addresses Pope's return, which we did see this past week.
I don't think he'd be welcome back. I will say his return is not voluntary. But I'm trying to remember now. I don't think that there ever is, because maybe the last thing he said to Tom was, I'm gonna get you. It doesn't quite happen. We get involved in other things that are again, part of the aliens and stuff like that we have to take care of first. So that'll just have to wait.
Special shout out also to San Diego Comic-Con.
You can see Falling Skies on Apple TV, Google Play, and Vudu to buy, and you can subscribe to it at Amazon. And for those that have Macs, you can see it there. Falling Skies, to me, showcased humanity's disdain for being restricted, or maybe even imprisoned. But more importantly, it showed me the resiliency of the human spirit. Sci-Fi Talk continues its special offer with over 1,000 episodes, commercial-free, uncut, and even special programs. Best part, it's free. Just click on the link in the show notes for that free lifetime access. But this special offer will expire on May 1st. For Rewind, this is Tony Tolotto.